Well, for those of you that have not been with us on a consistent basis over the last many months, we are in the midst of a series talking about spiritual warfare, something that every single Christian is a part of. And you're not a part of it because you want to be. You're part of it because you need to be. You have to be. As a child of God, Satan has his designs on you to want to despair, to bring pain and struggle and all of those things. And my friends, can I tell you that you have been equipped in order to be victorious in that struggle? That doesn't mean you're going to get popped from time to time. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have to deal with some very difficult things. But as we have been saying over these last several months, that does not mean that you get taken out. It doesn't mean that you're defeated. You get knocked down, then you get back up again. Why? Because you have a hope that is beyond what it is that the world understands. And that's why we as Christians do not and should not need to have to be medicated by the things of the world. We don't need to lose the things that are going on around us through alcohol or through drugs. We don't need to lose those things by overeating and by doing all of those things that seem to somehow placate us. We don't need all of that. Because what we have is the Word of God that is timeless, that cannot be defeated. Amen. And by the way, don't ever forget that when we talked about what is spiritual warfare, we said in God's sovereignty, the end has already been determined. Amen. God's already concluded. He's already decided that in His sovereignty, Satan is ultimately going to lose this war. So the end of the story has already been written. But what we have to do is we have to live out all the chapters that lead up to that. And how you do that depends in large measure to you, the choices that you make. You have the ability to choose to walk in victory through Jesus Christ every single day. And see, that's what my hope and my heart and my desire for you has been, is to choose to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. But see, that means you can't do whatever it is you want to do. You can't say whatever it is that you want to say. You got to guard your heart. You got to guard your mind. Oh, speaking of saying, that's what we're talking about now. Talking about the tongue. One of the most powerful weapons in spiritual warfare is one that every single one of us have. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord. You have been given a spiritual weapon that is unlike virtually any other for us in our lives. Now, don't forget, we also, as we talked about last week, we said that in this, that words that we speak are not generated from our thinking, they're generated in our hearts. And so it's out of the overflow of your heart that your words come. You know what that means? Your words identify you. Your words identify. You can tell people, this is who I am, this is who I see myself as, this is how I actually behave. But when you say the things you say, that's what it is determines it, because that's where it comes. It's out of your heart. And we said last week, and we gave you that little checklist. Do you remember? 6 questions that you could ask yourself. What are the words that you say when you're in the midst of a crisis? That helps to show what the condition of your heart is. Second question was, what do you say when you become frustrated with something? So frustrated. And boom, that's when I start to say things that I should not say, because it's coming out of your heart. Do you keep your promises? Do you fulfill your verbal commitments? Do your words mean something? Do you care about that? How do you handle power and authority? In your home, at the office, wherever it is that you are, what are the words that you say to people when you're in a position of responsibility? What are the words you speak to your spouse, to your children, to your grandchildren and other family members? And again, you remember, I hope that I said, it seems to me that we do things backwards usually. We save all of our loving and flowering and kind words for people that we barely even know, and then we get home and we're talking in a way that we should not talk. See, I think our families, our loved ones, our husbands, wives, our friends, those people, they should get the most loving, kind words. And then the last one we said was, how do you respond when people disagree with you? Oh my. Oh my. I mean, that's just a natural thing, I think, for anybody. But in this day and age, especially if you spend any time reading the things on the internet, if you spend any time looking at political comments and all of that, oh my. I'll talk more about that in a couple minutes. How important are the words that you say? What do you think their level of importance is? Because again, in our world today, I think the power of words has been greatly diminished. People just say anything at any time. It doesn't matter whether it's true. It doesn't matter whether it's important. It doesn't even matter if it's relevant to what it is that's going on. People just talk. And everybody seems to have to know what it is that they're saying. It's amazing. I wonder if even parents still tell their kids it's wrong to lie. I hope we do. I hope we're still teaching our children that it is not right to be dishonest. It's not right to tell a lie. You know, to be called a liar used to be one of the worst things you could be called. I remember that. Now, see, I got to tell you, I was a lousy liar when I was little. I was a terrible liar. I think maybe I can remember lying to my mother directly to her face, maybe two or three times. But I was busted before I even finished the sentence because something happened to my face or something. I don't know. She said, I can tell when you're lying. I'm going, doggone it, how do I fix that? All right, I didn't want to fix it, and I'm glad I didn't. But you know, there are people who are masters of deceit and lying. People that can look in your face and tell you something that is absolutely not true, and they don't even begin to breathe differently. Why is that? How is that in our world today? It is so easy for people to lie. Well, I can tell you this morning, church, that the power of words, regardless of what you think they are, the Bible tells us that they have the ability to give life and to take life away. Give it, take it away. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So that means if you're a person that talks a great deal, and I'm not suggesting that if you talk a lot, that's necessarily a bad thing, but you got to guard your words. Because if you love to speak things deceitfully, you're going to eat the fruit of that. If you love to speak words in honesty and love, you're going to eat the fruit of that. See, once again, choice. It's about choice, church, for each and every one of us. All right, take your Bibles this morning. You were hoping I was going to get to the Bible, weren't you? Didn't you? Turn to the book of James. Go back towards the end of the New Testament. Pass all of Paul's letters. Those are called the Pauline letters to all the churches, all those guys. You're going to get the Hebrews, and then you'll see James. I, for some reason, always thought James was towards the front of the New Testament. Everybody thinks that? Yeah, I'm not the only one? Good. Okay, this is Jim. I call him Jim. No, I don't. James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And he writes a very powerful book, a very powerful word. And in the third chapter, he's addressing what we're going to be looking at this morning briefly. Start in the third verse. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Whew. I don't even want to talk to anybody ever. Again, I don't want to say anything. From hell? All right. We're not bound to that, all right? But it can be. Where am I? Verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Now, this is a tremendous amount of analogy that's being written there. The Bible is filled with analogies, which basically means is that they take a concept, and rather than speak of the concept, they take examples of everyday life that you can understand so you can realize what the meaning of those words are. That's an analogy in the Bible. Well, in this, James is saying, you know, the tongue is a very powerful thing in each of us. The tongue's only about 2 to 3 inches long, but it can control your entire life. Just like a ship, massive ship. Now, in those days, the ships weren't anything like we have today, but the principle still applies. You look at those massive cruise ships. How many of you have ever been on a cruise ship? Many of you. I mean, holy smokes, these things, you walk up on them, you're going, you're kidding. We're going to end up in the ocean, bottom of the ocean. This thing doesn't float. It's too big. Well, not only does it float, but one guy standing in a room holding on to a wheel controls the entire thing. The whole thing. That's what your tongue is. Your tongue is that rudder. And that's why it is so important that you understand the importance of speaking the words of life around you. You have the power to speak life. You also have the power to speak death. And I want to talk about that this morning a little bit more so that you understand why it's important to guard those words. Let me tell you about words, though, because I want to show you and just speak a little bit about what they do. They can bring life or they can take life. They can bless, they can curse. Words build up and they tear down. They bring forth great things, they can also destroy lives. Words turn things around. Words direct our lives. They're like a rudder for the course of our lives. Words start fires, but words also can extinguish them. They ensnare, they impact, they bring joy, they produce fruit. Words are containers. I like that. Think about that today. Words are containers. They bring things with them. You see, words are not just nebulous sound waves that just travel through the atmosphere and then disappear. Because words are not only how we communicate and the things we do with each other, but words are also vitally important to the very eternity of your life, because it was with words that you asked Jesus Christ to come and to be Lord of your life. And see, that's why I think, again, we've got to be so careful about being dismissive of the things that we say. Just saying something off the top of our head. You know, I often speak before I think, oh my, oh my. That's not a good way to be. You need to think before you speak. I've counseled a number of people in my life that say they struggle with the things they say, and I tell them, listen, do me a favor. The next time something comes up, before you speak, count in your head at least a 5 and maybe 10 and perhaps 50 before you speak. You see the wisdom in that, though?
Yeah.
They're not my wisdom. I didn't make that up. But I've remembered it because it's also served me as well. Regularly, things happen in my life. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. 1, 2, 3. Jesus, need you. 4, 107, 108, whatever. Do you know how many times we say things that just simply do not need to be said? They don't need to be said, and yet we do. Because I feel better. They had it coming. You know what they said to me? I'll get them. It doesn't need to be said. See, that is the way the world does it. But as a Christian, we're called to live differently than the world does. It's not because we're better, but it's because we have been given a way to live that does not placate to the world first. It's first and foremost to please Him. That's the way that we should live. My friends, this is not easy. It isn't easy. I understand that completely. But I wonder sometimes if maybe the bracelets that we all wore, WWJD, remember that? What would Jesus do? I want to bring out a new line, WWJS. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus say in this moment? Now, you know, because you know the Bible, because we talk about it here regularly. Jesus experienced all the emotions we experience. Jesus was not exempt from those things. He got very frustrated with his disciples. Remember? Guys, how long do I have to be with you before you get what I'm saying? He said that to them a couple times. How about the Pharisees? You brood of vipers. You're like whitewashed tombs, he said. Jesus experienced all this, but he never sinned. And he never said things in a way to hurt somebody. He did it in a way to restore them, to give them an opportunity to see the error of their ways. All right, let me look at a couple things here as we move this along. Ooh, I got my Pop's pocket watch here on my thing. Okay, oh wow. This might be a six-parter here. Aren't you excited about that? See, and I do a teaser, and then you have to come back. So, Candace, you've got to come back now because I'm not going to finish today, and you're going to have, see, this is what I do. I pull you in, I'm just keep you here. All right, again, power of the words of God. All right, that's what we're talking about here. Power, because that's where it starts. Why are words important? Why are they powerful? Because the first words that were spoken by God. Go all the way to the front. Genesis, the first chapter, in the third verse. Creation hasn't even started yet, but watch how it does. Genesis 1:3, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Did you catch that? It's not about the light. What did God do? How did God bring light into being? He spoke the word. It was a spoken word. And it wasn't just that one time. You go to Genesis 6, 1, 6, 19, 14, 24, 26, 29, every single one of them said, "And God said." You see, the power of words began in the heavenlies. And that's why the power of words in our lives also carry great weight. That's why James says that they can bring the power of life for someone and the power of death by the very words that you say, because it began in heaven. That's why there's power in that. My friends, don't dismiss the power of your words. They can bring life. Amen. They can bring death. Amen. What does that mean? You say it can bring life. You mean literally, man, I can say, hey, there's a okay, I want a person here right now. Boom, I just created life. No, that's not what it means. Neither does it mean that I can say, I want you to die, and that person's going to physically die. It's not a physical life and death. What it is an emotional one. It's a mental one. It's a spiritual one. See, you can speak words of encouragement to someone and bring a joy into them that produces a life-giving element. And see, parents, that's why it's so important, the words that we say to our children. It doesn't matter how old they are. They don't have to be little ones. You can have adult children, and it's still important, the words that you're saying to them. Because not only are those words important, but the ones that we don't speak lovingly can do just as much damage. How many children have had their lives virtually ruined by being told by a parent, "You're worthless, you're no good, you're stupid, you can't do that"? Now, it's hard for me to conceive of a parent saying that to their children, to be honest. I can't imagine saying that to one of my sons. But I know what happens. Because there are a lot of wounded adults walking around, and perhaps some of you listening to me right now have been carrying a wound that began for you when you were 5 years old. It's still there. But see, that's the power of words, spoken in encouragement and spoken in love, to bring healing into our lives. I think one of the biggest problems with words that we speak, and you have to understand this, church, because this is, I think, one that people hide behind. So many times, we think that the words go out, we can somehow take them back. Once your words are spoken, they're out there. Amen. You can't change that. But how many times have you heard someone say, "I was just kidding. I was just kidding." Or I want to take that back, what I said. Or they'll say, "That's not what I meant." Well, my friends, we know that it's out of the heart that the words are spoken. So since it's in your heart, you did mean it. You weren't kidding. You can't take it back. And see, that's why, again, I think that there's such wisdom to just pause before you say something. Words spoken in anger will almost always be words that you're going to regret. Always. Words spoken in anger are words you're going to regret. And see, as God's children, we have been given a different way to live, a different way to talk with people, a different way to share our emotions. Now, folks, again, and I hope you hear my heart, I'm not saying you got to be a robot walking around not feeling or not expressing yourself. I can't even be honest. Sure, you can be honest. But how are you speaking? How are you talking to those people? I can get across a very intense point to my wife without making her somehow feel like I think that she doesn't know it, or I'm angry, or somehow all these other things that become negative. I can say whatever I want to her. She can say whatever she wants to me, because we made a commitment very early on that we were going to do that in a way that gave edification, that built up that other person, not tore them down. You say, Pastor Dave, don't you ever get mad? Sure I do. Not at her. I'm not stupid. I just... No. I'm teasing. We always get frustrated with each other, but you still have a choice in how you're going to respond, what it is that you're going to say, and how you're going to say it to one another. Okay, a couple more things, then I need to wrap this up. There was a slogan that was in World War II. Slogan was, loose lips sink ships. You remember that? You've heard it? Even if you're too young to even be a part of World War or any of that time frame. Well, in other words, what they were saying was talking about things of the war in a haphazard way could endanger the troops if the wrong person heard these words. So they were saying, watch what you say, guard your mouth. Well, we're not talking about troop ships here, but what we are talking about is the heart and the soul, the feelings of our very life. And see, feelings are important. They are important. The Bible is filled with emotion and with feelings. I think sometimes we go too far with saying, hey, listen, we always say, don't let emotions control and rule your life. That's all true, but it doesn't mean that we don't experience emotions. God created us as emotional beings. Jesus was emotional in his life. But what it does mean is that we have to guard the things that we say in order to protect the people that we're talking to. How many marriages have been deeply hurt or wounded or even destroyed by words? How many careers have been lost by words that were spoken? How many children, as I said, have grown up with a deep wound because they were being told that they were worthless or they were stupid? Words in the Bible are primarily defined as two things. They're either words of blessing or they're words of cursing. And I really believe that that is something that for us, and I know for my own life, I want to make those more defined, because it's my ability to throw words into the gray area that have me saying things that I shouldn't. Does that make sense? Let me say that again. Words are either a blessing or a cursing. I want to eliminate that gray area, because that's the place that I seem to be able to allow myself to say things that don't really matter, or that are not healthy, not blessing. Because then I say, well, listen, it wasn't that bad. I wasn't that nasty. I wasn't that angry. I wasn't that frustrated. But you see, words, when they're spoken, don't come with degrees of severity attached to them. You hear the words. They impact you the way that they were presented. And see, again, my friends, for us, I think as Christians, we have been called to live differently than the world does. One of the greatest struggles, and with this I'll close and finish next week on this part. One of the greatest detriments of our culture today is that every single person has the ability to share whatever it is that comes through their minds at a moment's notice, and it goes out to the entire world. I am convinced that 99% of the stuff that we read online that's been written by people, just average people, it's trash. It's junk. Because most of those people don't know what they're talking about. All they're doing is they're giving opinions. But you know what the issue is that nobody vets these people. There's no vetting taking place. So we've got PhD doctors giving us information, and we got some guy that's been living in his mom's basement since he was 21 years old. I don't really care about what this guy has to say about what's going on in our world. I think he needs to keep that to himself. I do care what this person says. How do we determine that? You can't. And see, that's why time and again I've told you folks, I really encourage you, back away from spending too much time reading these things. Because there's a lot of garbage out there. There's a lot of junk that should not be in our minds and in our hearts. because it will affect you. Words impact you. Written, spoken words affect your heart. They affect your mind. They affect your spirit. And so what I want to look at next week is I want to talk very specifically about the negative things that we say and what they do, the damage that can be done. Now, I'm not going to leave it there, because then after that, we're going to talk about the words of blessing. Because the words of blessing, I believe, is where the greatest amount of power is in the spoken word. Amen. Yes, curses are negative, but when you speak words of blessing, when you speak words of joy and of hope, Amen. Of encouragement, that's where the power of God can operate and work in and through you to not only change your life, but to make an impact in the life of every person that you associate with every single day. Amen. That's what God has called you to do. Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you for the truth of your word. And God, I pray that as we hear these things, God, I know that there are have been some uncomfortable moments for many of us. God, I knew as you were sharing this with me to prepare it, I knew that I was being pricked in my heart, being brought back to a place of realizing how I speak to people, how I speak and deal with situations that is not always pleasing to you. So, Father, I ask that you forgive me again, forgive me anew for the words that come out of my mouth that are not glorifying to you. And, Lord, I pray that for each person here, that we would be willing, God, to come before you and just ask forgiveness. Lord, this is not about condemnation, but it is about conviction. And each and every one of us need to be convicted of the words that we say. May we understand and know, God, how powerful these words are. And may we desire, Father, to speak life and not death, to speak encouragement, not words that tear down and bring disheartenment. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray now, God, your blessing over each and every person. And I pray, God, that as we leave this place, we are going to have opportunities today to put some of the things that we have learned this morning into practice, to guard the things, to wait before we speak, to allow the Holy Spirit to come and to change my heart before those things come out of my mouth. And Father, I pray that in every one of those things, that every time that we see the victory, that we give you and you alone all the glory and honor. Amen. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. Well, my friends, God bless you this morning. Thank you so much for being a part. Hug some necks on your way out. Come back next week. We'll finish this up. Anything else we got going?